Previously on the Side Hustle Show.
I'm up at 5 a.m. to get to work by 6:30, and it takes up most of my day. And then I've done a couple of things, mainly working on an app right now. I have a blog that I run as well, quote-unquote run, as I, you know, I've focused mainly on the app, but that's what I've got going right now. There's been nights where I'm so excited to get to my side hustle that I jog home, like I'll sprint home. I don't want to trade my time for money, what it comes down to. Online, not so much. I made a whole 7 cents last year. I want to be balling. I want to be on a beach somewhere. Like, of course, plan like crazy. I could figure stuff out like crazy, but I cannot execute. So I'm hoping that by the end of this year, I can execute on all these ideas that I have a huge head, all these ideas that are kicking around in my huge head. I want to be like the engineer's approach to points and miles.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's happening, everybody? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is another edition of our public coaching experiment. This time we're catching up with Wellington in New York. And where we left off, Wellington is working on building a travel hacking app, the engineer's travel hacking app, as he's an engineer himself by day. He's about $2,500 into it in terms of development cost. And where we left off, he's waiting to get the beta version back from his developer to see what kind of, if it was ready to go up to the App Store. So we'll check in with him this week to see what's going on with that. If you want to follow along with this journey with him and with Catherine, you can visit sidehustlenation.com/PC. That's PC for public coaching. If you want to, Wellington said he had earned a grand total of 7 cents online last year and has a goal of a side hustle income of $2,500 a month by the end of 2015, which would cover his mortgage, would cover his fixed costs. The challenges, one of the challenges is he's working 50, 60 hours a week at his day job, has got a long commute on the train to and from work, but we're going to work around that. We're going to see what's going on and see what's going on with this travel hacking app. In the meantime, if you want to learn more about working with me, if this sounds like something that would be interesting to you, a good fit, check out sidehustlenation.com/services. All right, now let's see what's going on with this app developer.
You know, my days normally start now at 6:30 and they end at 7:30 to 8 o'clock. So it's been like 13, 14 hour days for me. And it's just been, not too fun.
Yeah. That's some long hours. So somebody's got to be there around the clock and you're kind of the bridge in between those people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be worse. I could be there even longer. but what it's done is that it's made me really just want to squeeze every last second out of the day. So like my commute is like a 40-minute commute on the subway. So I carry a notebook with me. Like, for example, my tester, he's given me now multiple versions of the app, and I just go through. I'm on the subway, like messing around. I'm sure people wondering what the heck I'm doing. And I'm just, I'll do something and I'll write it down and I'll just make sure to note it so I could get it to him and just stuff like that. I've been reading, books and stuff. You recommended the one thing, so I've been doing that on the train as well. But every single second that I can squeeze out of the day, I do.
So what did you think of the one thing?
I'm still in the middle of it. It's pretty good. I feel like I haven't gotten to the punchline yet, but it is making me try, and just like my boss was saying, you got to be at 30,000 feet with any kind of hustle or side, whatever hustle that you're doing. So I find myself, I get caught up in the minutia of just every little thing. I'm an engineer, so that's just what I do. And it doesn't help me push a project along more so than just keep myself busy. And it makes me feel like I'm doing something, but I'm not really getting anywhere. I'm running in quicksand.
Right. Yeah. It's a good read and probably one that I should, tell myself to revisit every 6 months or every 12 months or something. Be like, focus. What's the latest on the app?
The latest on the app is, after we spoke last time, I've run into trouble with the developer, but he's playing games in the sense that, look, if it wasn't a guy that's used to dealing with contractors, I could see somebody running into problems. Like, for example, he gave me, shortly after we first spoke, he gave me the first, I guess, version to test. And, you know, I ran through, like I said, I'm very detail-oriented. So I gave him a list of 70 things to do to fix. And along with that, I gave him, like I mentioned last time, that I was going to keep updating databases and stuff so that he would have a bigger, like a resource of like airports around the world and just mileage between them, stuff like that. Okay. So I gave him all that. It was a 70-item list. He addressed maybe 30 of them and said, hey, I'm done. Release milestone number four. Milestone number four was the a second version to test. So before I released the milestone, I said, hold your horses. I want to go through it. I want to make sure you did what I asked. And I want to make sure that whatever it is that you give back to me after this test is ready to go, because the next milestone after that would have been to just upload to the App Store and give me the source code. So I foresaw that he would be the type of guy to – not that he would be the type of guy, but that – you know, if he would just quickly turn something around like that, he would just say, okay, now it's on the App Store. Now here's the source code. Goodbye. Give me all the money. And it would just be – it wouldn't be helpful for me.
Yeah, it sounds like he's anxious to be done with this thing. Maybe you're turning out to be a more demanding client than he anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks for him, but I'm paying him good money. What I've done is I there's a couple of tactics that I've done. One, I'm holding the money. I'm not releasing anything else until I'm happy with him having made the changes to the app, the original version of the app that that I gave back to him. He and I have been in communication pretty often. He's given me something else. I didn't like it. Again, he did not complete the list of things that I needed from the first go around. So he just sent me something last night. I was working on it on the subway. He addressed a lot of things. There are still some issues, but we'll be able to work through it. But this goes back to, we had a conversation before where he was the lowest guy on Elance, and it's the guy that I like the most, but unfortunately he was the lowest price, and sometimes you get what you pay for.
Yeah, no, that's it's kind of rare when like the low bid is the guy you actually feel the best about. So that's normally I'll like knock out the outliers high and low, but if the guy at the bottom is the most impressive one, like I have no problem hiring him. Go ahead.
No, so aside from that, I'm a little bit of like I said, I'm a little savvier with contractors due to just what I do on a regular basis. So I told him I'm not releasing any more money. And then I also said, you know, I have these other projects that I'm working on. And here's a flowchart, which is the flowchart for the app that we last talked about, the home renovation thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to turn it into a wireframe. And, you know, if you do a really good job here and I'm happy, you'll probably get the next job. I have no intention of giving it to him. I'll put it on the market again, the Elance market. But dangling that carrot seemed to kind of spur him on. Every time he gives me something new, he asks for, oh, where's that next wireframe? You know, I want to get started on doing something else for you.
Okay. Yeah, there's, I don't know, there's like the known quantity who is maybe is not amazing, or like starting completely from scratch with an unknown quantity.
Yeah, I always say it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
It can be scary either way. So what's kind of the next phase? So kind of now we're pushing back, we're kind of working through these lists of different bug fixes, and then you'll have that version pushed live to the App Store.
Hopefully by the end of next week, I'll be live and up on the App Store. The next step after that, or concurrently, is I'm setting up a website to go along with the URL will be the name of the app. It is the name of the app, and I'm going to be developing all kinds of content for it over the next couple of days so that I can do some type of launch.
And that URL is?
There's no website up now, but the app is called Getaway Geek. So it'll be www.getawaygeek.com.
I like it. That's a good URL.
Yeah, thank you. Took a lot of brainstorming.
Well, it's right at the crossroads of what you were trying to achieve. Like, look, I'm the engineer's take on travel hacking. So there it is.
Yeah.
I was going to ask kind of next steps in terms of like working on App Store discoverability, but it looks like we might not be there just yet. So we might be another couple of weeks out for that stuff.
Well, is my question would be, is that more so based on, is it, I'm nervous about the name because you know, thinking back to SEO, your title is so important. But also, you know, is there, I haven't ever done anything really on the App Store. So are there tags that are related to, you know, I need to go ahead and read up on how I can get the most visibility, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, we'll have to maybe we can bring somebody on. Maybe we can bring on a guest expert on App Store optimization or something like that, how to market a new app. It's still planning on having it be a free app with in-app purchases or kind of affiliate model stuff on the inside. How's it going to work from that standpoint?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of both. I'll call it freemium, though, not really. That was another thing. He had never done in-app purchases, so he was going all these roundabout ways. Luckily, my brother is he's got a master's in computer engineering, and he programs and stuff, but he's not well versed enough to put a full app together. So he's been helping me along, and he was able to do the research and put it into English for me, so I could translate to the guy, you know, what exactly I was looking for. So he was leading me to this website, parse.com, to try and, I don't know. He was trying to get me to buy into something that I didn't necessarily need that was already provided first party by Apple. So okay. That's been a struggle. There's that, and there's you and I talked about the credit card and affiliate marketing via the credit card signups. The way I'm going with that is, like I had mentioned before, Travis from Extra Pack of Peanuts, I had talked to him about, you know, using his credit card signups, his affiliate link, and, he would be the guy that would be, I guess, his stuff would be marketed through the app, and he would help me out in the sense that he would, I guess, mention the app on air. So it helps me get downloads, and it helps him get sign-up bonuses, and there's okay. also a, he's got a frequent flyer boot camp that I'm putting into the app as well.
Sorry, a frequent flyer what?
Bootcamp.
Oh, okay. So a product.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So it's not necessarily like a webinar or anything like that, but it's like a series of videos and lessons and stuff like that.
And what was – so you weren't able to get approved for the different credit card offers yourself?
No, I think that they really need for – they really look for like a huge amount of traffic. Otherwise, they just don't even bother with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a frustrating one, because it's like you don't want to put the, you know, all the investment in putting this together and then using somebody else's money link in there. And maybe that's, you know, just for starters to get some validation, and hopefully he shares some of that with you.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, like I mentioned last time, I just want to help as much as I can. Like, I, to be honest with you, it's been so great. I use my app every freaking day. Like, I'm such a nerd, and it's not even like, oh, it's my app, let me go to it and just mess around with it. When I go to look something up, or like I've been helping other friends book trips, I'll literally go to my app and look stuff up, and it's just been like, it's been awesome and convenient. So I just want to be that awesome and convenient for everybody else that gets to download it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take a deeper dive into the, you know, monetization side of it when the time comes.
Well, I'm hoping that via hopefully through exposure or whatever, with enough downloads, I'll get visitors to the website, and with the visitors to the website, I'll finally be able to get approved for those credit card links and just be able to work something that way.
Yeah. So, what kind of content are you going to put on getawaygeek.com?
It's gonna be. It sounds awesome hearing you say it, but it's going to be like, for example, one of my friends, he's looking to see, you know, he's taking the trip with me this weekend, and he's like, well, what's the best way for me to get upgraded on a flight? And I rambled off, and I listed everything off that he could do or should do to try and get upgraded without having to pay for it. And it's, you know, that type of stuff that people, they want to know, but they don't necessarily know where to search for, or like, you know, what's the best way to utilize my points. So in conjunction with the I plan on using a lot of examples where you have to go to the app to utilize or to search for values for the rewards and stuff like that. So I have a number of ideas for content. I just need to get the writing juices going.
Okay. Yeah, I think there might be an opportunity like to do one of these you know, slick explainer style videos. You know, that's kind of what I see on app
website kind of landing pages. It's just a very, very clean, very simple page. And maybe there's a blog component to it behind the scenes, but they're really trying to drive downloads. So they're linking out to Google Play and they're linking out to the App Store.
Yeah. I mean, long-term, my goal is, and I really want to sit down and like just bang this out. Like, I want to take, it's going to be organized content. I want to sit down and write down, like, I'm going to call them chapters, because I want to turn this into, I want to take all the content, I want to turn it into a Kindle book, which is something you have discussed on Side Hustle Nation podcast as well. Mm-hmm. And just trying to market that. And I checked the Kindle store. There are a couple of books on travel hacking, but nothing as comprehensive as what I want to put up there.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that's a good market. I know like Chris Guillebeau is selling kind of a premium thing, but there's a market there on Amazon.
Right. Even if I could get like a $4.99 price point and I get 1,000 buys, that's, you know, that's whatever Amazon takes out of it, but that's almost $5,000, you know, in sales.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You make 70% of that. It's definitely a market. Well, I mean, you see the traffic that the extra pack of peanuts and like the
points guy. Yeah.
You see the traffic that these guys get. So there's definitely, I can't believe there's not more books on this topic.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's a premium thing, especially if you're like, show me how to get a free flight to Europe or something. Like, let's say, you know, I'd be willing to pay a little bit more than $4.99 to learn how to do that.
Right, exactly.
But that's something probably for down the road. So kind of outlining these chapters, and maybe not necessarily write it. I guess you could write them on the subway. I mean, if you've got that 40 minutes, that's something that you could do with that time. All right, so a little bit of issues there with the app developer in terms of, hey, this is what you promised to do, and having to do bug fixes and stuff. And that's not unheard of, especially for a software project, to have a little bit of back and forth on that. And it sounds like Wellington has got it pretty well figured out in terms of how to deal with them. It sounds like he's a very detail-oriented beta tester in his own right, and that's going to serve him well to make sure this thing gets done to the specifications that he requires. Now, on our last call, he brought up an idea of a separate software business, which I think might have more near-term potential to really bring in some revenue, more than, you know, selling apps or giving apps away for free for 99 cents, or and then, you know, having upsells for 99 cents, especially in the near term, as he doesn't have the credit card affiliate approvals to be able to monetize with. So let's see what's going on that front.
Kind of put a lot of thought into what you said last time, where we were talking about the home renovation estimator app, and you said that it would be good for a foundation style launch. And, you know, I read back, I went back and I listened to everything I could about the foundation. Dane Maxwell was on SPI a couple of times, and I just went through and I did a lot of research for the, I guess it's software as a service. And it makes sense what you're saying. I just don't understand how they would be able to generate, or how they generate all of the funding that they do.
From my understanding, they're pre-selling this product before it even exists. And so they're saying, they're going out to, you know, business to business customers, essentially. So they're going out to general contractors, or, you know, whoever would be using this estimating tool, and saying, hey, this is what we're thinking of building. You know, this is after, of course, like doing that deep dive into like, hey, what's your biggest pain points? And then saying like, hey, this is what we're thinking of building. You know, if you'd like in on the ground floor, you get lifetime access, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have a say in what features are included, and trying to kind of crowdsource the funding that way to minimize your risk before you go out and find a developer for it.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that digs into what I was saying last. I'm just not a salesman, so I'd have to, you know, I'll do the deep dive, and then in, I guess that'll be my homework, or part of my homework. And I'll do the deep dive, make sure I solve all everyone's pain points. But more so, I was kind of gearing it towards like somebody buying a new house or moving or doing something to that effect, where, oh crap, you know, I got to do, you know, a couple of changes to the apartment or to a couple of rooms. But what you're saying may probably be a better avenue for revenue.
Right. Obviously the homeowner market is huge. Like the home, you know, DIY, do-it-yourselfers, home improvement, like Lowe's and Home Depot, like will open up stores like 2 minutes away from each other, because there's a lot of people buying this stuff. but the, I don't know. Like I kind of envisioned it as being a, you know, a software as a service, like kind of a recurring thing where, you know, a bigger company could give this to everyone in the field, or even a small company, like you buy one license and use it, you know, on their device while they're out estimating jobs or something. I'm curious, like, I know nothing about the industry, so I'd be curious to say, hey, what are they currently using for that? And that might be something to explore on calls or as you're talking to people. You know, what are the shortcomings of the existing solutions that are out there? And, you know, what, in a perfect world, like if you could wave that magic wand, what would this tool do for you?
Well, working for a large scale contractor, we do have some systems in place based on historical values. And you know, you measure square footage, whatever. But most of the time, when I've seen people work as far as just making a call on how much whatever, it's shooting from the hip. There's no hard data backing that up. There's been a lot of times where people have not lost their shirt, but they've lost money based on, you know, making an incorrect assumption, or they'll come back to somebody and say, hey, I need more money because I didn't think of this or that. And that's really where maybe it'd be the most helpful.
Yeah, it puts them in an embarrassing situation with their client. And it's like, whoa, we had a deal. Like, we signed this fixed price job at X, and now you're asking for more. So that could be a, like, how much did you lose on change orders that never happened? Or how much did you lose last year on jobs that you underestimated, underbid? Like, I'm in my business. God, I would underbid jobs because I was afraid of not having,
getting the job. Work. Yeah.
And that, I guess that worked out okay as a sales strategy, and then come to find out that, you know, my customers probably would have paid more, and it was just like straight, just like leaving money on the table,
because they wanted to
work with me anyways. You know, the price wasn't necessarily, I mean, it's obviously going to be a factor, but maybe not the deciding factor.
Right.
And so if you're like, you know, underbidding this stuff, especially if you're just guessing, you know, if here's a tool where it's like, okay, you know, this is $32 per whatever yard or something. I don't even know.
It makes sense what you're saying, in the sense that if I'm a contractor and I'm trying to make a presentation for an owner or somebody that's looking to do work, and I say, well, based off of my historical data and the numbers that I've inputted into my system for this place, I believe that it's going to cost me this. It may be more expensive than, you know, some of their competitors, but then they'll have the absolute, there'll be knowledge, and you'll see that their process, and they'll probably be a little more comfortable with somebody that did it that way than somebody that's shooting from the hip and throwing a number out there just to try and get work.
Yeah, it seems like there's a trend towards that kind of transparency. If you can show people your method, your process. So I think the first step on that project in your spare time, I don't know when you sleep, in your spare time.
I don't. No more.
Yeah, no more. Would be to just start talking to different, you know, different contractors, different estimators maybe, and say, hey, what's your process look like? What kind of challenges do you have in estimating these jobs? What happens when you underbid a job? You know, who eats that? Or do you go back to the customer? Like, does that hurt your Yelp ratings? Like, there's a lot of different directions, I think, this one could go. But that money saving angle, like, look, you know, by inaccurately estimating jobs, this costs contractors $15 million a year nationwide or something. It's probably way more than that.
Yeah.
This app for, you know, and like, I don't even have anything to sell you. I'm just kind of doing research on the market at this point. But then down the road, you'd be like, look, for $149 a month, we will make sure you have no overages or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think your suggestion, more than anything, it kind of changed my mindset, in the sense that, like, for example, thinking back to, and I keep referring to this, episode 17 with Benny Hsu, you know, he made the lump sum of $30,000 in 30 days. But then, you know, what happened after? I feel like I never really followed up. Like, what happened after the fact? It's more so like we talked about making $2,500 a month, more so than just making, oh, let's make $50,000 in this time span. And then that's it. It's more setting up a recurring, I guess, influx of cash into my pocket.
Yeah. And with the app thing, like, if it can gain some momentum, and it has definitely has the potential to be a passive income earner, But yeah, it seems to be very much like blockbuster based, right? Like the hits of, you know, this month or these 2 months, you know, maybe aren't being seen at the top of the charts, you know, this time next year. And so
right.
it can be tough, and it's different, very much a needle in the haystack, whereas this other thing, you know, could have a very nice recurring revenue component to it. Definitely a little more hustle, a little more person-to-person sales to build it up. But realistically, I think has a better chance at the $2,500 a month than the app business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to try and work in, you know, the book and the website and stuff like that. But I'm actively working on just trying to get something out there now so I could just try and monetize something.
Yeah. And part of it depends on, like, you know, what are you most excited about to work on? And it sounds like the, you know, the travel hacking stuff is definitely a passion. And so, you know, I have no problem saying, hey, let's tackle that stuff first, since you're already, you know, 80% of the way there. It wouldn't make sense to scrap it right now. So let's get it out there and see what happens.
Right. And I guess one of the benefits of working so many hours at my, I'll call it my main hustle now, is that it just makes me like, I just want to get out of here. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be stuck to, you know, a job site for the rest of my life. So it's been very motivating in that sense.
So what's next in terms of, you know, next couple weeks, action items to do, anything I can support you with?
Action items, I'll finish the one thing. Two, I'll make sure to go through this build that I got last night for the app. I'm going to make sure that tonight, by the time I get home, that I'll be able to fill out, make sure that he's done everything that he promised, fill out the next list for him so that he could, you know, start working on it. He's very quick, so within the next day or two, I expect to turn around so that you know, I can review. Hopefully he's learned his lesson with me. I'm not going to release any more money. So he's at 50% right now.
Yeah.
You know, he'll give me a good product that we could just throw right up on the app store.
Cool. Has anybody else tested it so far, or just you?
Just me. I've asked my friends to test it, but they're like, man, I just kind of want you to tell me how to do this. And it's just like, it's a little discouraging in that sense, but I feel like there's definite, I've talked to a lot of people on via Twitter on all the travel bloggers, and a lot of people have shown me interest, and I've talked to a couple of people on like the Flyer Talk forum, and they've shown me interest as far as that goes as well. So there's definitely, like, in that niche, there's people that are going to be using it, but it's just maybe for the layman, it's not going to be as accessible. So that's why I want to make sure that the website launches in concert with it.
Yeah, well, that's, I think you bring up a good point, and maybe that can be a side business down the road as well. Like, look, I don't want to bother with, just tell me what to do. Tell me what to apply for, you know, tell me where my best value is in booking the tickets. And that was, I think, an example in the $100 startup, like some guy set up just like a booking service. Like, you've got a lot of miles, I'll book your trip for you for $250 or something. And it was just something that he loved to do. And I don't know.
Yeah, that's actually
a service-based thing around here.
Yeah, that's actually a very competitive service right now. There's a number, a lot of those bloggers that do it. Actually, I think Travis from Extra Pacapina, he does that as well. Actually, the Points guy started out as a travel booking service with points and miles. So it's a competitive area. I think that I would be able to break into that market. And a lot of the money that they make off of it is when they recommend a credit card, it's their affiliate link. So they end up making money not only from the service, but also from on the back end from through their affiliates.
Okay, so finishing the one thing, reviewing this latest app build and kind of, you know, doing the user testing, kind of the bug fixes on that. And then
launching the website. I'm definitely going to write a couple of days worth of content. So I want to make sure that I put something up, and also completing the wireframe for but doing a lot more research on this home renovation estimate.
I wouldn't be in a huge rush to like pump out, you know, a million different articles for the website. But if you have a couple kind of pillar type posts or kind of gateway posts that can introduce you kind of what is going to, you know, the kind of content that people can expect, I think that would be good.
Okay. Like epic posts, like Pat Flynn says.
Right, epic posts. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Side Hustle Show, where we're taking a dive into Wellington's side hustle. And so he mentioned his kind of homework for the next few weeks, really diving into some pain points for this this renovation estimator app or software as a service business, finishing the one thing, great book if you haven't read it already, finalizing the bug fixes for his app developer for the Getaway Geek app, and then that creating a little bit of content, but not too much. I wouldn't want to focus on that, on launching the GetawayGeek.com website. If you guys have any feedback for him based on this call, please stop by sidehustlenation.com/103 to drop your feedback into the comments there. We'll make sure that we bring it up on an upcoming call, or make sure that he sees that input. And anything else that comes up in the meantime, definitely drop by and leave a comment as well. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a fun adventure so far. Looking forward to seeing where it goes with both Catherine and Wellington. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.